Merry Christmas. Welcome to Christmas Rhyme is here. Kids, one more sleep. That's all you got. One more sleep. And then tomorrow we get to open presents. Can we just give a big round of applause for presents? It's such a great, just wonderful thing. If you don't believe anymore, you're missing out. You just got to get in the mood. Okay, the smell of wrapping paper all combined at the same time. It's a beautiful thing. Let's just take a minute and remind ourselves why we are going to open presents tomorrow morning. This is the story of the birth of Christ. This is in Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Remember that. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. I mean, what an amazing story. We are gathered here tonight to celebrate something that happened over 2,000 years ago, where God, in the most humble fashion possible, made himself a man, and not just a man, a little baby, and put himself in a feeding trough. And said, "This is going to be the way. This is going to be the truth. This is the life. Here I am, God with my people." Wow, what an amazing thing. And I got to tell you, like, to put all that together and to bring opening presents on Christmas morning, to remember the gift that God gave, this Savior of the world, who would forgive us of our sins. Like, what an amazing thing. Like, because to me, like, there's nothing like opening presents. Like, it's just so much fun. Like, think about that. Like, how much fun is it when someone gives you a present? Like, you don't expect it. It's amazing. You're like, "Oh, really? You got me a present." Like, and you're like excited. You're gonna open it and see what it is. On Christmas, you know there's these presents that are gonna show up, and you get to open the presents. It's like one of the most beautiful things in the world to come downstairs and again smell the wrapping paper, and then to like find out where your presents are, like to like see which ones are yours, then to lift one up and like see your name written on it. My name, I remember seeing my name written on it, and like just by like the way that it looked on there, I was like, "Man, Santa has really good handwriting." And I found out later that my dad went to a Catholic school, and so it's like he had really good handwriting. Like it was like wow. And I remember seeing Joel, and I'm like, "That's a present for me. I'm going to open that bad boy." Now, it's about that time for me to bring you guys a sermon with a rhyme. And for those of all in the room who know me, you know that I got a sermon to bring. But for those of you who know me best, you know I choose to sing. Maybe? Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking about just laying something down really, really tight, you know, to bring some funk to Christmas Eve night. Huh? I can sit up here and I can make up some more rhymes. I could do that over and over again like 1,000 times. You don't have to worry. You're not going to have to be here all night. By the end of the night, we're going to sing Silent Night. Rapping is harder than I thought. But I do just want to remind you of something. I just want to open my presents, please, because I love Christmas time.
And I'm wondering what Santa brought me, 'cause I love Christmas time. I've been thinking about this moment for way too long, and it's fun to fantasize. And I'm hoping my presents don't turn out wrong. It's fun to fantasize. Oh, 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 oh. I can't wait to open my presents today. Yay, yay. Oh, oh, oh. I can't wait to open my presents today. Oh, to open my presents today. Oh. There's a present for me, there's a present for you, there's a present for everyone here. No, I don't have any more. I mean, yeah, presents, man. It's like the best thing. And you have like your wish list. You just sit there in our family, like someone would be Santa every year. How many people know what I mean when I say that? Like, who's going to hand out the presents? And then you go around and you open up one at a time and you watch people open up their presents. Right? And so, man, just like, oh, it's my turn. Like, I have all these things that I want. Open up the present. It's like, and everyone's watching you. You're like, oh, you. It's Christmas. It's so awesome. I'm like, oh, that's nice. I don't really care. And then you're just like, and it's socks. And you're like, oh, socks. And your mom and dad are like, you need socks. You needed socks. And like I said, like in my family, like we waited like for everyone to open the presents. And I have 6 brothers and 2 sisters. So I wasted like 10 minutes for socks. And then like, of course, sometimes my parents, they would get me socks. And then of course, for some reason, they didn't want to like put the socks and underwear together. Probably to make like I had more presents. So then I would go a whole other cycle and come around underwear. And it's like, what? And it's like, my parents decided at certain times to not give me the things that I wanted, but to give me the things that I needed. And I'm telling you, Christmas isn't that fun when you're in high school and you get socks or underwear. But you realize you get to take your pile of stuff after Christmas morning and you take it up to your bedroom and then you have your pile and you see your socks and you start taking your socks over to your drawer and you put them in and you're like, oh, these are actually really nice socks. Because you look at your old socks and you're like, I definitely needed these. You look at your underwear, I needed these. And the thing about like getting a present that you don't want but that you need is if you don't realize you need it, or you don't agree with the fact that you need it, it can be offensive. It's like, I don't need new socks. Why? I don't need socks. Mom, I don't need them. She's like, yes, sweetheart, you do. You need new underwear and new socks, sweetie. It's stinky and gross. Like, you need that. And it's offensive when someone gives you something and that gift, it implies some type of need in your life. And when you get presents that you don't necessarily want, but that you need, they can be offensive. Gifts can be offensive when people give you something that you don't know you need. For example, the other day I had the kids at Kroger, and is everyone okay? And I had the kids at Kroger, and they were a mess. They were a nightmare. Like Redding, 2-year-old, she was just screaming, and she wouldn't sit down, and I'm like, carrying her through the grocery store, and like the boys are trying to run to the toy aisle, and I did like, I turned into like the like proverbial dad mouth voice thing where like you talk with your teeth like this. Like it happened. I'm like looking for eggs, and I'm like, you better hold on to the side of the thing. I'm like, hey, how are you? Hey, and then you better grab onto the cart. Hold onto the cart. If I tell you to take your hands off the cart again, you're in so much trouble. Hey, how are you? Like the clenching of the mouth when you're talking to your kids is classic dad. So I have this like moment, right, of like the kids are kind of a mess and I get through the checkout line and I get them out into the car and I'm telling the boys, get strapped in back there. And then I'm like strapping Redding in and she's just screaming. And so, like suddenly as I'm like strapping her in, I get a tap on the shoulder. I turn around. There's a sweet older lady and she says, I'm sorry. I just wanted to give you this. I feel like you could use this. And I was like, oh, okay. What's that? She's like, it's a parenting book. And I was like, oh, yeah, I know. I'm learning. She's like, don't worry. You read it. You keep it. You need it. And I was like, okay. And she left, and I like get in the car, and I call Katie. I'm like, a lady just gave me a parenting book because of the kids. And she's like, no surprise. And I'm like, oh, so I'm mad. So I go home. I'm like, are you kidding me? I didn't even read the title. This is the book, Growing Up Again, Parenting Ourselves, Parenting Our Children. Offensive. That is offensive, man, for someone to give you something and you're like that. It just says you're a bad parent. You've got problems. You need to figure this out. You have serious parenting needs. You got to learn. You got to grow. I threw this thing on the ground. The next morning, coffee, grab it, go sit on the couch, flip it open. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I didn't know that. Ooh, yeah, definitely. And I start reading through this, and I'm like, there is a bunch of stuff I need to learn. Now, none of that actually happened, but could you imagine if it did? How offensive would that be if someone gave you a book because you were walking through the store with your kids? I mean, can you imagine for a second if you were at your, Christmas party, and at the end of the Christmas party, corporate party, someone comes up and says, hey, Joe, I just want to meet with you. I have a present just for you. You open it up, and it's a book. It's a book about being self-controlled. We have technical problems a little bit. Am I glitching? Hey, everyone just clap real big because there's people, honestly, I promise you, in New Zealand who are watching this right now. Just say, Merry Christmas. They can hear you. Hey, guys, how are you? Can you imagine if someone, in your office gave you a book about how to be self-controlled? Like, just think of the moment. Like, oh, you, I guess I better prove that I don't need this. Like, just the offense of that. Like, the offense of that. So, can you imagine if someone, saw your shoes and they made an assumption about you and they gave you a book on your finances? Hey, I just saw your shoes and I thought you could use a personal financing book. I mean, that is, the most offensive thing in the world. It just says you have problems and I can fix them. And this book will help you and you have needs, my friend. Can you imagine if at your Christmas thing with your family, if you started a workout routine, you just got going, and someone came and gave you a dieting book? How offensive that would be, even though you're like, okay, I'm starting to figure this out. And it's just one of those things where, when you start to realize a need, it's still, not okay for everyone else to tell you that you have that need. You have to, get there and embrace it. And here's the thing about Jesus Christ and him coming to this earth 2,000 years ago and ending up in a feeding trough or a bed. He didn't come here because he wanted us to celebrate. He didn't come here so that we'd give presents and that we would spend time going to the malls and shopping, that we would eat too much food, that we would laugh, that we would, whatever it is that you do. He didn't come for any of that. He came because we all have a huge need. A huge need. And not everybody agrees upon that need, but that's the reason that he came. He didn't come here to just give us what we wanted. He came to be the gift that we needed. That's why Jesus came. Think of the story I just read to you guys from Matthew chapter 1. Joseph. Joseph is going to get married. And then he finds out his wife is pregnant, is to be wife. And he's like, I don't need this. I don't want anything to do with this. God shows up in the middle of the night and says, hey, through this messenger, you actually need to take her home. And you need to go through this process. And you need to bring this baby into the world because it's a super big plan that is my plan to take away the sins of my people. In that text, this angel says that God's plan is to send his son to us to help us with a huge need, a sin problem. In that moment, when you read that, you might go, well, that's not me. I don't have a sin problem. I don't need Jesus to come and die for me. I'm like a good guy, a good girl. I do most things right. That Jesus coming to earth thing, that is for those people who, you know, go to prison or get in big time trouble or, you know, they just have those habitual, real nasty, seedy problems. Not me. I mean, I've done some things wrong. But my goodness, God didn't need to come to this earth in the form of a baby and then eventually die, if you know the story, on a cross. Not me. And that's the problem, is that when you don't recognize that it is actually you and it is actually me, and it's for every person, and the gift of Jesus Christ was for all of us, and we all have the same amount of need, you could take offense to the gift. You literally might look at that passage of Scripture where it says he comes to take away his people's sin, and you might step back and go, well, that can't be me, because you haven't recognized your need. You're going, I don't need socks. I don't need that. I don't need a dieting. I don't need that book. I don't need a parenting book. I don't need Jesus to come and be my Savior and take away my sins. I mean, come on. Like, there's people he needed to do that for, but not me. And the thing is if you don't recognize your need, you're probably offended by the fact that that's the sole purpose that Jesus came. That's the reason we are in this room. The reason we are celebrating is because God decided to help us with a huge need called sin. Tim Keller said this, "The gospel will always cause offense because it shows us having a need that we can't meet." So here's the thing. People that hear the gospel message, which is the story of the good news, that God came to fix this broken need that we have, this problem that we have, people who do a lot of good things, people who make a lot of good decisions, and maybe you call yourself moral, or you do the right things, you say the right things, maybe you have this perfect record, and you have this, you know, this kind of glaring reputation, this awesome reputation, you are that person that just kind of has it all dialed together. People that are like that, when they hear the message of the gospel, when the socks are given, usually are disgusted by it. They dislike it. It rubs them in such a way they go, this doesn't make sense. Because I do good things, and there's no way that he needed to send that to me. There's no way that he needed to send Jesus to me. People who recognize their need. People who go, yeah, I need help. I need some help. People who recognize that they're a sinner. Who recognize that they actually carry in their body a brokenness that has separated them from God for eternity, which is what sin is. They hear the message of Jesus and go, thank you for supplying the need. Thank you for giving me what I need. And ultimately, what it takes for you to move from being offended to being in this place of thankfulness is a moment of humility. It's a time for you to swallow your pride and go, I have a need. And to sit and go, I have a sin problem. And to recognize that Jesus is the gift. He is the answer to your need. Now, here's the thing about sin. Because some of us are kind of like, okay, tell me how I need this. Here's the deal. The Bible teaches and scriptures teach, and you have experienced this reality that is sin. And what it teaches us is that sin is who we are and it's what we do. We are sinners who sin. See, what happened is God created the world and then he put humans on earth and they were in a perfect relationship with him. And he told them that they couldn't do one thing, and as soon as they did that one thing, all of human history changed. And every person that was born from that moment on was born with a sin problem in their DNA, which meant that they were born into separation from God. Therefore, because their nature was distorted in that moment, because God is perfect and holy, and sin means to fall short, it basically means to miss the mark. As soon as they missed the mark, every person was born into this planet, into this place, missing the mark. So we were born sinners, and then we start to break the rules, and we start to live out who we are. We're sinners who've fallen short just by being born, and then because we fall short being born, we act like we're falling short, and we do things that we shouldn't do. Now, for some of you are going, yeah, I understand that, but like, there's a disparity between grand sin in some sense. Here's what the scriptures teach. The scriptures teach that when you break one of the laws, it's as if you've broken them all. And so if you've ever lied, if you've ever cheated, if you've ever been jealous, If you've ever had a hard heart towards someone, you are living out, you have living proof inside of you, in your attitude, in your mind, that you're a sinner who sins. And what that means is that you are just like me, and we together have a huge need, a need for a Savior to come into this world and take away the problem of sin. Because the scriptures teach that the wages of sin are death. That means that because of the way we're born into this world and the way we exhibit our lives and our separation from God, that we deserve to be separated from God for eternity. And he can't stand that. So what he did is he said, I'm going to send my son to you. And I am going to make him pay for your sins. The wages of sin is death. I'll send my son. He will pay. In a theological sense, Jesus, this baby in a manger, is a substitution. Substitution. The theological idea is called substitutionary atonement. What it means is that Jesus stood in for us. He was born, he started off in a feeding trough, he ended up living this perfect life because he is God in the flesh. Then he went on the cross. And when he was on the cross, that is the moment he was paying the penalty for sin. Instead of you and me having to hang on a cross, instead of you and me having to be dead and separated from their father, because when Jesus was on the cross, he was separated from his father spiritually. In that moment, all of the punishment for our sin, all of what we deserve, was put on Jesus. And so, he was our substitution. So here's what happens. When you learn you're a sinner, oh, I have a need. Hey, Joseph, you need him to come because he needs to supply your need. I have a need. You have a sin problem. I have a sin problem. Absolutely. It's who you are. It's what you do. Then you move to, well, how's that going to get solved? Don't worry. I have a solution for it. Jesus, he takes your sin. He pays the penalty for you. He stands up there on the cross and says, I got this. I got this for you. When you recognize your need and you see what God did to fix your broken relationship with God, the gift changes. It changes, you guys. Your life changes. You see, the thing that was offensive that says you have a problem, the thing that you might turn your nose up at, the thing that pushes you back, becomes something that you want to lean into. It becomes something that's so incredible. And the gift moves from offensive to incredible. It moves to something so wonderful. It moves to, I just know what I need and I hope that I get it. Think about Christmas differently. Say you have a great need, something that you just know you need it. Maybe it's something for college or whatever, and you know it's expensive and you can't afford it. What if your parents put under the tree that one thing that not just that you wanted, but that you needed in order to make it through the next semester? That's the gift of Jesus. He's a heavenly Father who loves us so much. He doesn't just shower us with the things that we want. He says, I'm going to fix the greatest problem ever, and it's about a relationship with you and me. I'm going to take away the sin because the sin separates us, and now we can have eternal life together. The beauty of the gift when you understand your need is amazing. Gifts are incredible when the giver and the receiver agree upon the need for the gift. Jesus is the gift that we need. There's nothing that you did to get you into that necessarily. You were born into it. And there's nothing that you can do to get yourself out of that problem. You need a substitution. I've told this story. I have this hip problem. And I found out that like my hip has an impingement on it. And the top of my femur has this bone that when it turns into my hip socket, it causes pain. And it's just like, what is going on with me? I start to have all this pain. I went to the doctor, and they said, you certainly do have this problem. You need to go get therapy. So I went and started to get therapy, and I sat down with the therapist. I said, okay, first of all, what did I do to get in this? And she looked at me. She said, nothing. In fact, like, you were just born this way. Your hip is just this way. You're just starting to feel it now because you're getting older. I was like, oh, man, that hurts more than just physically right here. And then I said, okay, so it's just the way I am. She said, yeah. I said, so how do I get out of this? How do I like get this thing to go away? She said, there's nothing you can really do. I mean, you could have surgery and like, it just would cause more of a problem than actually help. But actually, like most people have this normal, and they live with it. They have to deal with it. The only way that would actually go away is if someone came in and just miraculously wiped it away. And God has the ability to do those kinds of things. But the reality is that his greatest miracle is the gift of Jesus Christ, who wiped away this need that we have, this brokenness. It's who we are. It's what we do. You didn't do anything. You were born into it. You're a sinner. You exhibit it every day. And there's nothing you can do to get out of it. So God said, Merry Christmas. I'm going to supply your need. I'm going to take away your sin. And so what I want to do tonight is I want to give people in here that when they heard they were a sinner and they heard they were separated from God, that maybe at first they were offended and they didn't recognize that need, but maybe now you recognize your need. And you're sitting in here and you go, I'm a sinner and I'm separated from God. There's nothing I could do to fix it. So I'm going to embrace what Jesus did for me. And that's when you get saved. That's when you move from death to life, is when you place your faith in what Jesus did on the cross for you. You look at what Jesus did and you go, okay, I have a great need and someone had to take away my sin and he did it. So I'm placing my faith in what Jesus did on the cross to take away my sin. That's my greatest need. God supplied it and I accept it. I want you to accept it tonight. I want you to accept Christmas tonight. Worship Jesus in a new way. In recognition of your need and the fact that our Heavenly Father supplied that need. So I'm going to say a prayer and I'm going to lead people who have never embraced Jesus Christ through a moment in that prayer where they can, to themselves, express by faith, through faith, they can just say to themselves that they embrace the gift of Jesus Christ tonight for the first time. And when I'm done, if you say this prayer with me, the connect card that you have under your chair that maybe you've looked at already, we want you, before you put it in the bucket, to write the word need on it in the box at the bottom. Because we want to know if you embraced the gift of Jesus Christ tonight. We would love to know that, and we would love to walk you through what it means to experience life in Christ. So, let's take a minute and let's pray. Father, we thank you for being the Christmas rhyme. We thank you so much for being this supplied need. Thank you for being so humble that you emptied yourself and you emptied yourself of your attributes so that you could supply our need. I pray that there are people in the room right now who would humble themselves and accept the need. They would know they have it and they would just embrace you tonight for the first time. Father, thank you. I pray, God, right now that there will be some people that repeat this next part after me by faith in their heart to you. Just say this, you guys. Just say, God, you love me. You love me. Because you died for me. And there's no way that you would die for me unless you loved me. So, God, I am now love you. I love you back. So please, God, I want you to know that tonight I embrace you. I accept your gift. I recognize that your death on the cross, that your visitation to this earth was to fulfill a great need, the need I have in this sin problem of my life. I pray, God, that you would wipe away my sin. And that I would follow you from this day forward for the rest of my life. And tonight, I place my faith in you and what you did on the cross to take away my sin. Thank you for being my substitution. Thank you for loving me the way that you love me. Thank you for changing my life. In Jesus' name, amen.